Savvy listeners, and welcome to episode number 91 of the Savvy Girls podcast. This is Deborah, and I'm podcasting to you from New York, New York.
And this is Melanie, and I'm also podcasting to you from New York, New York.
We have a full episode for you today. I'm excited to talk about my knitting, and I'm going to be talking about the knitting of other people as well.
Like my knitting?
You can talk about your knitting.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. We're going to talk about talking about your knitting?
Anyway.
All right. I'm going to read you a very Canadian winter story.
And I am going to talk about some of the poor crocheters that need love. Yes, oh. We're not letting that go.
And so,
everyone, sit back. Use your knitting sticks to poke holes in your presents to see what you're getting.
Whoa, good idea.
You can always
under
knit
your
them up.
Xmas tree.
Or your Hanukkah menorah, because that's where we put our presents in.
We don't actually put our presents under the menorah, because then they'd get full of wax.
Fair enough.
And enjoy this episode.
Enjoy the show. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
So I would like to start my segment by telling you about my day so far.
Today?
Yeah, yeah.
Go on.
So Deborah woke up at 3 a.m., and she was awake. So from 3 till 4:30, she knit a little bit, played on her computer, surfed Ravelry, knit a little more, turned the light off, turned the computer on, played on the computer. 4:30 rolled around and she decided, I'm just going to go to the office.
My sister is insane. Can I also put in that she went to the office yesterday on a Sunday?
Yeah, I was in the office for 3 hours yesterday. But this morning, so I left for the office at 5 a.m. I arrived at the office at 5:30. Let me just say I was ready for my lunch break at 8:30 when everyone else started.
What did you eat?
No, I ate multiple lunches today.
Okay. Yeah. Go on with the story.
And then I ended up working throughout the day, as one normally does when they're at work. And then I stayed at work. It was 5:15 or so, and I was thinking of going home, and then I thought, I've just got to push it for another 15 minutes so
Why?
I can hit 12 hours.
Just because?
So I would hit 12 hours. But then I ended up getting distracted and working until 6. So I did 12 and a half hours at the office today. I'm tired. Oh my goodness, I have so much to talk about.
So make it funny.
This is a lot of pressure.
Come on, you can do this.
Okay, can I talk about what I've been knitting lately?
Okay.
So, things I've been knitting. So I've been knitting, I knit a pair of mittens, and made up the pattern out of hand spun that Bowerbird, Rebecca, sent me. She's one of our listeners. And I knit the two mittens, and then I cast on for the third one, and I knit all to the point where I just need to essentially do... No, I'm done the decreases. I pretty much just need to graft the ends, and then I'll be finished the second one. Well, maybe I need to do the thumb also. And then I got a little distracted with that, and have been working on a sockhead hat. That's a sockhead hat that Melanie convinced me to knit for her. And then I also cast on for another Selbu Modern. And the Selbu Modern is it's a collarwork hat. I knit one of these previously, but it was too small. It was really too small. I'm knitting it out of Knit Picks fingering weight palette. And it's the second time I'm making it. I've added an extra pattern repeat to make it a little larger, to make it so it'll probably be circumference-wise large enough for my giant head now, but I'm still worried it's not going to be deep enough. But I was feeling a little bit discouraged one evening, and I was talking to Savvy Mom, and I might have been complaining a little bit about my knitting, and during the conversation I realized that absolutely everything that I was knitting was something I had already knit. And I was saying, well, I'm just kind of bored with my projects. I've already knit them before. And she said, you know, Deborah, stop putting so much pressure on yourself and find something fun to knit. And she was so supportive that she actually went onto Ravelry. And we spent about an hour flipping through patterns on Ravelry to try to find me something interesting to knit. And we found lots of beautiful things to knit. And I think just that conversation was enough to get me out of my rut. And then I decided a day later that I wanted to knit a hat for a colleague. And this is the colleague who showed up at my Hanukkah party
In the Gelt Digger sweater.
So I know she has a bit of a sense of humor when it comes to her clothing. So I decided I would make her a hat using the Fornicating Deer chart, which is, if you haven't seen it, a color work chart of two deer fornicating.
That means
Rutting, making little deer babies.
Well, they could both be male deer, especially with all the same-sex marriage going on. Like, I really think that we should put it out there that
they both have
female
antlers. Deer.
So it is a...
But I think all reindeer have antlers, right?
I don't celebrate Christmas, so I don't know that.
Reindeers are actually animals, and they don't only exist in fictional Christmas.
I don't know. But let's just say this is a same-sex reindeer. Just like, just mix it up.
They're same-sex reindeer.
Let the same-sex reindeer be getting something this season.
They're same-sex reindeer. So I tried doing 3 reps. I cast on 96 stitches. Tried doing 3 reps. It was child size. So then I ripped it out.
Because we don't have a child who...
I didn't think it would be appropriate to continue making a child size hat with fornicating deer.
Not because they're both male, because that is not an issue.
No, it's the fornication that I was concerned about. It's the rutting of the deer that I was concerned about. And then I did four reps, and I knit it, and it's a little bit on the big side. It's not huge, but then my friend the other day was talking to me, and somehow we ended up in a conversation about her head size, and she told me she wears a child size helmet.
Oh.
Like, her helmet is actually a child helmet. Oh, for goodness sakes. So it might not end up being a gift for her. It fits my gigantic head, though.
You do have a gigantic head.
I have a huge head.
It kind of hurts sometimes to look at it. I just keep looking and it's still there.
It's all head. So I've decided that my holiday knitting will consist of whatever I can get done. There are a few people for whom I could knit.
Bing!
Try to, you know, finish my sister's hat.
Or not. No, don't finish my hat.
I have a boss who has a particular thing for Star Trek, and I was thinking that it could be funny to make him some kind of Star Trek-related knitting item.
Writing Spocks?
He's not going to know if I don't. He will never know that I didn't do it. Well, he will, but he won't notice the absence. So I might not do that. Taking it easy over the holiday season, because I'm sticking around New York, and almost everyone is leaving. People don't stay in New York over the holidays. I have a number of days off work, and I'm going to enjoy those days. I'm going to knit. I'm going to spin. I'm going to clean the house prior to those days so I'm not, you know, sitting in my own filth. And it'll be really good. Other people, however, our listeners, are doing holiday knitting. All sorts of holiday knitting. And I was talking to Savvy Mom prior to this podcast.
Saying what? We have nothing to podcast about.
Saying I was in it was a bit of a stressful day. And I was a little stressed about work. And I was saying something to the effect of, how am I supposed to podcast about knitting when I'm not doing any knitting myself? Which, you know, I'm really
never stopped me.
Really not doing all that much knitting. That's a really good point. So she said, Deborah, why don't you just podcast about other people's knitting? I thought that's a fine idea. And so this is all Savvy Mom. But so first of all, I went onto Ravelry and I went onto the project pages of people who are members of our podcast group. And I noticed one overwhelming factor. People are generally knitting for themselves. I was rather pleased, actually. So I have a couple of items that I admire. They're not gifts. They're not holiday knitting. They're just really, really cool.
Okay.
So I'm going to show these. I'm going to show them to Melanie, and then we can both talk about them.
62 unread messages?
Oh my god, I am so behind. Melanie's never allowed to look at my Ravelry page, because every time she'll go, 78 unread Ravelry
62?
Messages.
62? So if anyone's wondering why Deborah isn't answering them, it's because she's a horrible person.
It's because I'm struggling to keep up. All right. So I was extremely impressed with Free Flowers Cabled Snappy. And it is a cabled sweater with snaps going up. It's stunning.
She's bright cute. Red.
She's adorable.
Look at the button band. She and the button band are cute.
And she's, I don't know if this is, she's done a, oh my goodness, this is such a
Do you think she's too
project.
Old to adopt?
I think she could adopt a child. I don't think she's too old for that. No, I mean,
could we adopt her? Because she looks adorable.
Can we talk about the sweater,
okay,
though?
Go on.
It's a raglan-style sweater with a cable pattern down the center and then an off-center button panel. So it opens. It's asymmetrical. And then she has this wonderfully cute swirl-colored... swirly. It's the inside the button band. So like Grosgrain ribbon, but I don't know if it's actually Grosgrain ribbon. And they're not buttons. She's put bright blue snaps on them, on the sweater. And it's absolutely stunning. So I would suggest you go check that out. She appears to have knit it for herself because it fits her perfectly. And Ms. Freeflower, Melanie apparently would like to adopt you and bring your sweater along because you're pretty cute in your sweater.
Yeah, you're pretty cute in your sweater.
All right. Some people, however, have been knitting for gifts, and some people have been doing small, quick presents. One that really caught my eye was the work of Stitcher.
Oh, Stitcher.
Stitcher, who is knitting mini sweater ornaments with cables. And so it's basically, I don't know, hundreds? I don't even know how many of these
sweater
ornaments.
It's a legion. It is a legion of sweaters. It is an army, a horde of sweaters.
Out of sock yarns, and they're all raglan style, and they're adorable. And she's written, they take about an hour and a half. She blocked them. It's 7 grams of yarn. And she's using them for Christmas present toppers. So rather than knitting Christmas presents, although maybe she is also knitting Christmas presents, but she's putting them as part of the wrapping.
Oh, that's so cute.
I thought, what a lovely idea.
She could definitely give me 7. I would take 7 of those.
What, one for each finger?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but I have 10 fingers. Wait. Actually, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. But the thumbs can't talk as much. See, there'd be a sweater on each finger, and you'd be like, hello, how's the weather?
That's a good point.
Hello,
good point.
What? They'd be British.
Oh, your sweaters would be British?
Jumpers. They'd be jumpers.
Okay. Then there are people who are knitting quick knits. Like quick knits, quick gifts. And that would be like Tea Cozy, who knit a one evening a ruched beret. And this is very cute. She's done it out of Cascade Yarns Eco Duo. And she started in the morning, finished in the evening, and ribbing on the edge, and it's knit in the round, and there are 3 pleats at the side.
Do you think she stopped to pee? I mean, do you pee before you go, or do you just wear a diaper and let go?
Well, I don't know if it's the same as gaming.
I mean,
like, you know, people who game, they go for days and they wear a diaper.
But she did it in one day. I mean, really, who has time to pee, wash your hands, wait for it to dry?
Maybe some people, like, wipe their hands on, say, like, a towel.
What? That's too classy for me. You can just skip a step. You just not wash. You could wipe it on the hat, I guess.
There are some people knitting some unusual gifts. For that, I would like to identify the pulley for Gormagon, which is a cat sweater.
Gormagon is indeed a cat.
Gormagon is a cat, and this was knit by Knitaroo, and, you know, I can see knitting a sweater for a cat. What I can't see is putting a cat in a sweater.
We put gerbils in sweaters.
No, we.
We.
But, like, cats, to me, seem like they would be a fairly resistant creature to be put in a sweater. This sweater actually has, it's not like a dog sweater where you would just sort of pull it around and close it.
Oh, I see the sweater.
This sweater, like, you would actually put the cat's legs into the sweater.
That looks like one unhappy cat.
This one miserable cat. I don't even know how to describe this pattern. The pattern is Cats Love Sweaters by Christine Landry. Pattern for a custom-fitted long-sleeve turtleneck cat sweater. Also, cats are bendy, squishy, and generally confused by being measured. Do the best you can. Close enough is close enough. The ribbing is pretty forgiving. And in fact, when you go to the pattern page, there is someone who has knit this for their naked cat, the hairless cat, and it's pretty funny looking.
It's cute on that cat. It's cute on all the cats. It's just that was one unhappy looking cat.
There are some pretty unhappy looking cats in sweaters. So I thought that was entertaining. And then there are those who are making heroic efforts to make things for their family members and to make them the perfect gift. And so for this, I would point out Sally C. Her sweater is named The Burb.
Well, because it's Burberry.
It's a Burberry-style scarf. And she's knitted out of Lion Brand Jiffy Solid. And the pattern is Harry Potter Hermione Deathly Hallows Scarf Knitting Charm by Nancy Fry. It's quite the title. But I like what she wrote on her project page, which is, I thought about buying my son a Burberry scarf for Christmas and then saw that they were $495. I decided to make him one instead.
So the question is, will he appreciate this?
So I don't know, but it's quite the heroic effort. It looks like she knit the sweater, she knit the scarf with the horizontal stripes and then did the vertical stripes by duplicate stitching or, I don't even know if this is duplicate or just stitching on top in contrasting colors. She did a beautiful job of it. I just really would like to know if he would accept this as a replacement. But it's
well, tell us. What's her name again?
Sally C.
Sally C.
Sally C. We want to know what
we want to know.
He'd better like it because that was a heroic effort.
It definitely was. I bet it cost that much in yarn.
Probably. That's just a summary of what I've not been knitting. One last thing that I really liked is PJ McMullen has knit knit coffee sleeves for her sisters, but she's named them sister cozies. I'm tempted to make projects for make a sister cozy, but it's not going to be a coffee cozy. It's just going to be like a hat. But if it's for my sister, it would be a sister cozy.
So work on my hat already.
Yeah, I thought that was a cute name for her project, though. And that is what's going on with that. But I have one more thing to say. Following our last podcast, I believe in our last show, I might have said something about no one ever crocheting for me. There might have been a comment about how the only crocheted gift I'd ever received, my mom made for me before I was born. No more crochet for me. My friend Dominique, who I've mentioned before and who has been on the podcast, she's the crocheter. She's not the only crocheter in the world, but she's the crocheting friend. And so she sent me about 4 to 5 days after the last episode came out, I got a package in the mail with a beautiful crocheted cowl and the note saying, consider yourself sponsored, Dominique. And then it said 50% wool, 50% love, and a few Kafira hairs. Kafira's my dog.
Yeah.
But essentially, she sponsored me by sending me a crocheted gift. How and sweet. I thought that was lovely, and I've worn it already, and I love it. So thank you, Dominique. And then Mom got on the phone when I was telling Mom about Dominique's gift, and she sort of got sniffy and said, I realize I haven't crocheted anything for you, and I've crocheted things for strangers, and I've not crocheted anything for you.
It's a valid point, Mom. And
I
said,
that's a good point, Mom. I mean, don't worry about that, Mom. I love you anyway.
And is she going to crochet you something?
I don't know. Wait, the conversation didn't go that far.
You dissolved in tears, and the rest was just assuring you it was all right. The rest was just
assuring me it was all right.
We're podcasting.
Right. So, Mel, what have you been up to?
Do it better.
Okay. Mel, what have you been doing? What's your thing? What's happening, sister? Did that help you?
No.
Did that prompt you?
That Can didn't I try again? Prompt me. Yes, try again.
So, Mel, it's been a while since you've
You know I hate being called Mel.
So, what's happening, sis? What's going on?
Well, it's been busy here in New York. Actually, when did we do this last? I guess I just came back from New Orleans, right?
I think so, or but was it, we just picked topics out of
our Or was head. It the one before I went to New Orleans and we had it all ready and then we put it up after?
No clue.
It
was episode 91.
I think I talked about New Orleans. I think it was after I came back.
It's 50-50.
50-50. Really. So anyway, I came back and it's been just over 2 weeks since I started rehearsal and it's been just over 2 weeks since we... Anyway, so I am back in New York. I have been in rehearsals for Lincoln Center for Babes in Toyland with the Little Orchestra Society. I was hired as a adorable teddy bear and walked into the first rehearsal and was told that it is now a dance show with a capital D, which is awesome.
When you're a dancer.
And the choreographer was wonderful. She was wonderful, really. I learned so much.
About dancing.
And I worked so hard.
You did. Your rehearsals were what, 10 hours a day?
With the optional warm-up, and honestly, I thought it was best to go to the optional warm-up, and I needed all the help I can get with the dancing. And I don't dance. I hate dancing. It's so awkward. I feel, honestly, like I can't move. I feel like I would rather die than move when it comes to dancing, and nobody understands. Do any of you understand it?
I think we should sponsor Melanie's dancing. We should sponsor a dancer.
No, but now you don't have to. Sponsor I'm not a dancer.
A singer.
You could to dance.
To dance.
No, but the point is that a week before rehearsals, I was at a club. Well, a New Orleans sort of club. So it's not like a bottle service table New York club, which I've never been to because don't do that. Because I'm poor and I don't dance.
Right.
And everyone,
or drink.
Okay. And everyone else was dancing and I just couldn't do it. It was, I did, but it hurt. It was hard. And
well, it's a risk. It's a social risk to get up and dance.
Well, I know I'm popular though.
Well, I know you are also.
So it's not really risking anything because my social standing is secure.
Well, right. But I'm saying, but just like someone getting up and giving a speech is a social risk.
Not if it's me. Come on, I'm really good at giving... Okay.
I'm trying to be understanding here.
I forgot.
I could say that it's no problem. I have no problem dancing in public. Give me a stage, put on some music, give me an audience. I'm out there shaking my little booty. Not so little lately, but anyways. I mean, see, I could have said that.
You could have said that.
And instead, I tried to be understanding.
And I realize I'm sort of... I don't really know the word. I mean, I know we had talked about the naked dance, so I suppose dancing naked in front of a shocked friend in a change room is completely different.
But there's a difference between a little naked wiggle.
That's true.
And, like, a full-on dance.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Not that I know what your naked dance looks like.
Oh, you've seen it.
Well, it involves fingers in the air, yeah, one at a time.
Yeah, that's the dance.
It's a little naked wiggle.
So you've seen it. Who has it? Everyone's seen the naked dance.
Pretty much.
It's really a question.
Check out YouTube.
Who hasn't seen the naked dance? But the point is...
It's not actually on YouTube.
Please don't look on YouTube under naked dance in case it is.
And if there's some naked dance that isn't Melanie, just like shut the program. You don't know what's going to happen.
The point is, I learned to dance. I wouldn't say I'm a good dancer now, but
you got the hand jive.
There was a hand jive.
Well, what is a hand jive?
From what I understand, it is a 1950s dance move that wasn't around in 1950s, that it was in Greece. They made it up as a 1950s dance move. It is historically...
Greece, the musical.
Yes.
Okay.
The movie, originally. So it is historically inaccurate, yet nostalgically, that is when you think of 50s dance moves, that's what one thinks of.
And it involves clapping and waving your hands in the air.
And hitting your body with... a lot.
Right, but in a coordinated way.
Right, not just, you know,
randomly hitting your body.
There was that, there was waltzing. Some of the dancers were Broadway dancers, so...
Some were ballet dancers.
Some were ballet dancers, some were... one of the girls had been on Broadway and in the tour of A Chorus Line, which is one of my favorite shows, so I was a bit in awe of her. I got to waltz with her. And I was hired as a singer, though. There were definite dancers and singers hired. And it was great, it was so much fun.
I went there.
You went, what did you think? 3,000 people in the audience.
I loved it. It was really, really cute. Can I give away the ending?
Yes.
When they actually had a very big high school marching band come in, and they were the save the day against the evil guy. And it was kind of neat because they came in from the back of the auditorium?
Well, the hall. The hall.
And no one was really expecting it. And then in comes this marching band. A huge marching band. There were hundreds of them. Or 100. I don't know how many.
There were many. There were many
high school kids. Granted, they weren't perfect in terms of the playing of their instruments. But they kind of got the marching part relatively well. They did okay. It was cute.
It was good.
But the best part was there was this teddy bear that knew how to dance.
I'm the bear.
Melanie was the bear. It was fantastic. It was really cute.
And I took a ton of pictures, so if we ever do a furries website...
You're in.
I'm in.
You're like the main character.
I don't have another furry's costume at hand. And
therefore, you're the main character.
In case you don't know what a furry is...
Oh, a furry is... it's a subculture where people who dress up as animals. And then there are some that just enjoy frolicking and as stuffed animals. And there are other ones who take it a little further in terms of
They have sex in costume.
Okay, not a family show.
Well, I didn't say how. Only some of the costumes have genitalia and some don't.
Right, okay.
Just saying.
Good.
And what was random is I'm actually friends with someone who is a furry. And whenever I posted pictures, at one point I posted pictures of a bunch of us in a pile because that was the choreography. And he immediately put on Facebook that in our culture it's called a fur pile.
Oh, gosh.
So... It was melding of cultures and bringing together of furries and such. And it was so much fun. So I did the show.
All right. And then following the show, we had a little event.
We had a Hanukkah party.
It was quite the party.
It was quite the party. We pretty much invited everybody.
Well, I invited a few people from work. I don't know very many people in New York.
And I invited everybody. So I invited people from the show, people I had toured with in the summer.
Friends? New York friends?
New York friends. A couple people I had gone on dates with. I figured, hey, come to the party. And also my New York friends that I had before. And a fair amount of people showed up. And there were awkward moments at the party.
Well, more for you than for me.
Yeah.
It was kind of awkward when I spilled oil all over the stove while the flame was still going. But I resolved that by turning the flame off.
And it was kind of awkward when one of the cast members passed out on the couch after everyone else had left.
Yeah, 2 hours after everyone has left is too long to stay at a party.
And it was also awkward when I was having a conversation with 3 different people I had gone on dates with in the last week and a half.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and one of my friends knew a little too much about all these situations, and he had drank a little too much, so that was a little stressful. But it was quite the party.
It was good. I made a whole slew of latkes, and I had bought a Groupon or a Living Social or one of those.
I think purchases. It was a Groupon.
Okay. I had bought what was might have been a Groupon for custom-made cupcakes, and so we had Hanukkah cupcakes delivered, and I had a friend who I put in charge of bringing donuts, because donuts, sufganiyat, are a traditional Hanukkah food, and I thought she would just go to Dunkin' Donuts. No, no, no. She Googled best donuts in New York City and then brought those. There were still 2 in the fridge. I'm considering eating one right about now.
After we podcast.
Or, yeah, sure, after we podcast.
And tell about her, although it wasn't.
Oh my goodness, it wasn't Hanit, but.
So when my sister's friend.
So this is my friend slash colleague, and she's not Jewish, but she's very sympathetic. And she decided that this year she was going to celebrate my holiday by getting herself an ugly Hanukkah sweater instead of an ugly Christmas sweater.
And if you don't know what the whole ugly Christmas sweater tradition is, look it up.
Yeah, I mean, people who just have ugly sweaters with reindeer faces on them or whatnot. So she bought one for herself and then one for a friend of hers. Her sweater, she got the Geld Digger sweater, which Geld in Yiddish means gold or money. So it was the Gold Digger sweater. There were pieces of Geld, so pieces of money all over it. That was pretty funny. And then she bought her friend the Spin Master sweater, which was pictures of dreidels, so the spinning tops.
It was a cardigan, a red and white cardigan with pictures of dreidels. Yeah, I'm pretty jealous. Funny.
We have pictures of them.
We will put up pictures.
Okay, we'll put up pictures of these sweaters. There was another one with dreidels on it that was called the Spinster sweater, that if it had not been $60, I would have bought the sweater, because I'm a spinster.
But it was $60.
It was a $60 sweater.
And we're cheap, poor.
Frugal. Well, I knew it would be made of yuck acrylic.
That's true. Although I really kind of wanted that cardigan with the dreidels.
It was very cool.
He actually turned to me and he said, "You can have it after." But he didn't.
He's a nice Jewish boy.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, well, he doesn't appreciate red cardigans. So, and we had our neighbors. We invited our neighbors too in this building. So several of them stopped by.
That was really nice.
And okay, to end my update, I'm going to... Nope, that's it. Actually, I think I've been talking enough for once. It's your turn.
Wow, I have so much to say.
Oh, so before I end my update, I'm just going to quickly tell people about where we're going to be.
Okay.
I just think, in case you talk so much, I run out of thoughts.
Okay.
Here, I need my calendar for this. This Saturday, I am flying to Alberta. Yay, Edmonton. Coming back just before New Year's. Then we are going to Madison, Wisconsin on January 11th.
Woo!
We need to buy the ticket.
Yes, we do. I'm not sharing a seat with you.
Your infant in lap.
Who's the infant?
In lap.
Yes, but which one of us is going to sit on and which one of us is going to sit under? Depends whether I exercise over the holidays, right?
Me too. So the next day, on the Saturday the 12th in Madison, I am doing 2 performances of my knitting show. Come out and see it. It is awesome. We will put stuff on the webpage. But apparently Madison, Wisconsin is in the middle of nowhere, close to everywhere.
Hmm.
So you can come from pretty much everywhere. And it's full of great amounts of crazy knitters, so.
Well, and if anyone has any, say, suggestions of knitting-related things to do around there, I mean, I'm sure the knitters in Wisconsin will point us in the right direction, but if there's any, say, must-see knitting items, do let me know.
Then on the 14th, the reason we're there in the first place, the reason that galvanized this entire trip is we are speaking at the Madison Knitters Guild meeting, doing a CD signing at 6 o'clock, and at 6:30 the meeting starts, and we are doing a savvy speech, which is totally ready.
We totally know what we're going to say.
Like, totally.
We're going to be very articulate.
We are very ready for this. We have a month.
I know. Okay. I know. I'm ready.
I'm totally ready. The next day, we are somehow getting, we don't know how, probably driving to Minneapolis to speak at the Minneapolis Knitters Guild at 7 p.m. And it is open to people. So if you work or live or are close to Minneapolis, come see it.
And we are totally ready for that speech too.
Oh, totally ready. And then the next day, Wednesday the 16th, I'm doing my show in Minneapolis. So come see my show. The rent is high for that theater. I need to get people at my show.
And then later that week.
My birthday!
Melanie's birthday is on a Friday, and the 18th.
Vogue Knitting Live.
And then
Live.
Vogue Knitting Live. I should contact them and tell them we're coming.
It's quite the week. They it might cancel it if we're not coming.
It's true. We need to cover it.
And then, oh my gosh, there's more. Okay, and then in January, on the 25th, I am doing a CD signing and promotion event in Boston. Actually, it's not Boston. I think it's Dorchester or something. But it's like pretty much Boston at the Stitch House, which is a really cool yarn store there, which...
It's hosting you.
It's hosting me. So that's Friday, the 25th of January. And then I'm doing a Piaf Brel concert at Pigalle, one of the French fancy French restaurants in Boston, on the 28th. And then February. Flip, flip, flip. February 14th, I'm doing a speech about knitting at NYU. So that is awesome.
What is that about? The historical knitting music?
Yeah, it's about the historical knitting music. And
but that's an academic talk.
It is an academic talk. There will be some singing. And it's in New York on the 14th at NYU. So, whew, that's a lot of knitting.
That's a lot of knitting. Are you going to do any knitting in between?
I'm working on hand warmers.
Talk about your hand warmers.
They will warm my hand once they're finished.
What are you knitting them out of?
Malabrigo.
Sock?
Yes, of course.
Okay. What colorway?
Sort of blue blah.
It's a blue-gray, but I forget what it's called.
It's called Awesome.
Okay.
And I've started working on these in Europe. They were my Europe. When I went to Europe last April, they were going to be my souvenir. I'd come home with a pair of hand warmers.
And you came home with one, right?
Yeah, one. This is the only thing. I knit those hats. Aside from the hats, this is the only thing I've knitted since April. So.
Bad knitter.
Not a knitter. And, okay.
Trying to make her career off of knitting.
Or crocheter.
Okay, you're leading this because I don't know what we're
doing. Oh, I'm leading this.
Okay, good.
So last time we talked about crocheters sitting in their huts crocheting.
Yeah, like you sponsor a child in a poor community. Melanie would like to sponsor a crocheter.
Right. Well, no, not personally.
Oh, no. Okay.
With other people's love.
Okay.
I mean, whoever started Save the Children, I bet they did not give any of their own money to Africa.
Okay.
So I am going to give a little bit of my own something. There was a crochet reference on Grey's Anatomy this week, and although I don't regularly watch Grey's Anatomy, I thought it was pretty impressive. So,
here's
my nod to crochet.
Guy's crazy wearing this thing. It's like you wanted to get shot.
Brooks, get over here and help with the cutting.
Some guy got shot.
Did you cut him?
No. Don't cut my ghillie suit.
His what?
This army issue, best damn camouflage there is.
Yeah, for war, not hunting deer. We wear orange coats for a reason.
Oh, got it. I myself prefer hobbies like stamp collecting or crochet. Something that doesn't involve guns and helpless little creatures.
So, stamp collecting and crochet. Harmless hobbies.
Harmless hobbies.
So there you go, crocheters, you're harmless. Which is good because we insult you a lot. Oh dear. So anyway.
Although they still do sometimes take away crochet hooks in airports.
That's true.
It's kind of disappointing when I see.
You've seen crochet hooks get taken away?
Well, yeah. Well, you see that the items that have been taken away and you see some knitting needles in there and some crochet hooks. It's kind of sad and upsetting.
So thus far, there have been two crocheters that have come forward to be sponsored and one person who's come forward to sponsor them. So first, Denise Harrow, thank you for offering to sponsor a crocheter.
Haven't other people offered to sponsor Mom?
Well, she offered to sponsor Mom. Okay. And so did Jess Maddie also offered to sponsor Mom. But Mom has not offered to be sponsored.
Okay, so let's not insult Mom.
So, well, Mom.
Okay, so.
So Denise Harrow, we will find you a crocheter. And Jess Maddie, if you would like to sponsor someone besides our mom, or maybe our mom, because you don't necessarily get a choice in things in life.
You know, Denise Harrow's from Alaska.
Wow, maybe someone should sponsor her.
Do they have crochet in Alaska?
Probably not, so she probably doesn't even know what she's getting into.
You know you have to love them, right? You have to say nice things when you sponsor someone.
And you can't eat them. It's not like roadkill or moose or whatever you eat in Alaska. How did that get to be a state anyway? Like, why doesn't Russia own it or Canada?
I think that's precisely why they've kept it as a state.
But how did they get it? I mean, it's freezing up there and they're kind of weak. I mean, how did they get
up there?
Who's they? The Americans?
The don't think you can put that on the show.
I'm totally putting that on the show. How did they, A, find Alaska without their GPS Garmin or iPhone 5? I mean, how did they find it?
I bet if you Googled it, history of Alaska, you could figure out the whole, like, American
presence. I'll sleep for an angry listener to tell me.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Just say enough things that are insulting that someone gives you a lesson.
Thank you.
To teach you better.
Yeah, Denise Hara, you may teach and sponsor. Okay. So, two crocheters have come forward to be sponsored. The first is Demi Crotch.
Did she come forward to be sponsored?
And I didn't realize it was your friend Dominique until right before we started podcasting.
It's not Demi Crotch.
Demi Crotch.
It's Demi Crochet.
I don't know about that.
She's francophone.
Demi Crotch. No, her name is Demi Crochet. Oh, Demi Crochet.
Yeah.
And
Or Demi Crotch.
She is not online right now, which is kind of a relief.
Hallelujah.
She's the one you were just talking about.
Yes, she's the one who sponsored me back.
Well, she needs a sponsor now. We're going to tell you a little bit about her to see if you'd like to sponsor her.
Okay.
So her birthday is same as mine, January 18th.
I know that. That's how I remember your birthday.
What?
I know when it's Dominique's birthday that it's your birthday. I can't believe that one of my best friends came forward to be sponsored with
obviously
love.
Obviously, you haven't given her enough.
I'm not giving her enough love.
She has two daughters, aged 11 and 7. She is a happy and busy wife. She's lived in Canada, Haiti, you visited her there, the United Arab Emirates, and in Los Angeles. Crochet is her passion and her addiction. Wonder if she could be on My Strange Addiction.
Whoa.
She crochets anything and everything. She's not the most creative monkey out there. Okay. It says that. But it's okay, because I assume she's not the kind of monkey that throws their own feces.
Feces.
So we're good.
No, she's not a howler monkey.
She doesn't throw her feces.
I can't say for sure whether she throws her own feces, but I would say there's at least 60% chance that she doesn't.
It's LA. Everyone throws their feces.
Okay, good point. Maybe there's like a 20% chance that she doesn't throw her own feces.
She made resolutions, so she's someone who likes to improve herself.
Okay.
She wanted to make a square per month.
I don't think she did that.
Okay,
I can't say for sure.
Make a Halloween costume? Does she do
I that? Also don't... I mean, how old are these? Dominique, you really should check your profile.
So, Demi Crotch did not... She is not one who sticks with her goals.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's possible that she has.
And she's in such groups as Yarn Thing, Savvy Girls, Space Cadet, and a bunch that start with the word crochet. So... What? I'm trying to make her lovable.
She is lovable.
Do you have some inside information?
The inside information
like
is
when that... Like when she got trapped at your house because of the uprising in Haiti?
Well, yeah, that was fun. She was evacuated from Haiti and came to visit me with... Well, she and her family came to visit me in Trinidad. And, yeah, and then they ended up not being allowed to go back home for a while. That was fun. I can tell you that she follows patterns to a T. So if the pattern tells you to use, I mean, I think to the point where she actually picks the same yarn and the same color.
Oh, she's specific.
She's specific.
And it says she never curses. Have you ever heard it? Come on. Come on.
I cursed on the phone with her the other day and she gasped.
Really?
She's like, did you just say that?
Wow.
I said, oh yeah, and I meant it.
Wow.
I wasn't cursing at her. Let's just be clear. Let's just be clear that this is not curse a crochet.
But you were dropping bombs.
I dropped a bomb.
There were F-bombs and S-bombs falling all over and she was on the battlefield dodging bombs.
I'm so surprised that we're okay, dummy.
So, well, we're not sponsoring her. We don't need to love her.
Right, 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 okay.
Except we love her. I mean,
right.
I haven't seen her for like 10 years, but she was pretty nice then.
She's lovely.
She wasn't a crocheter then. So, okay, Demi Crotch, if anyone... Oh, and she's francophone, which makes her cool. And that means if you ever meet her, she will make you poutine. Right?
Clearly. French-Canadian poutine.
And she probably has one of those flechons? No, what are they called? Fléché?
Oh, no, she's not Québécois.
No, what are they called? I think
a ceinturon?
Yeah, but I think they're called, like, fléché. I know that's the word for arrow, but... Fléché.
But she's from the Maritimes. She's not from...
Oh, and she probably has a fiddle. Then, also. She probably has a fiddle. One of those things that you with the boucherons wear. And also poutine.
Clearly the poutine.
Oh.
If you don't know what poutine is, Americans and Brits and Aussies and any non-Canadians out there, Google it.
Have you ever had poutine, Deborah?
Of course I have.
I've had poutine. Vegetarian poutine.
I've had make it... at home yourself with powder gravy. So,
oh, I've had vegetarian poutine. It's so go up to Canada, eat poutine, sponsor Demi Crotch. Just do it.
By the way, poutine, it's a French Canadian dish. It's French fries with gravy and then cheese curds on top. It is the most delicious bowl of heart attack you could imagine.
So good. It's delicious. So sponsor her quickly, because right? You may not have much time.
She's going soon.
I don't know that we can say that either. She's in LA now. There's smog and poutine. Okay. The second crocheter we have to be sponsored, her name is Belle Fleur 45. And she...
You know, if you were to say that in a French way, it would just be Belle Fleur.
Belle Fleur 45.
Not Belle Fleur. Well, so this appears to be two francophones.
No, she's from Sheffield, England. They don't speak French there. They hate the French.
Belle, but she's still Belle Fleur. Belle like, Fleur. That's very clearly
say
French.
It in a British accent.
I can't say French.
Belle Fleur. Belle Fleur. How would you say
I don't
that?
Know. I can't...
Hello, I'm the Queen Belle Fleur. Oh, Belle Fleur.
There we go.
Belle Fleur 45.
There you go.
Except it's Yorkshire, so that's a totally different accent.
Clearly yours is recognizable.
Her real name is Liz, like the Queen. And she is not online either, which is a pretty good thing right now. Because she's out having a social life. Although it's like 4 a.m. for her.
So maybe she's sleeping? Awesome. If she were, she'd be at the office.
Good point. So anyway, she's a crocheter from Sheffield, England. And where is Sheffield, you may ask? I have a really good quote about it. George Orwell quoted in 1937, "Sheffield, I suppose, could justly claim to be called the ugliest town in the old world."
All right.
So
I wonder what the ugliest town in the new world would be. Columbus, Ohio.
We have a lot of listeners from there.
They were really mean at the post office.
Yeah, they were so mean at the freaking post office. I hate Columbus. I hate I forgot to tell about that. We're going to talk about Ohio next time.
We can't bash Ohio, though.
No, we're just going to read. Anyway. So what else can we tell about this lovely girl named Liz, like the queen? Her favorite curse word is piggin.
Okay.
Which
I didn't know that was a curse.
It's Yorkshire. Everything's different in Yorkshire. Like, right. Pudding is not pudding in Yorkshire. She's been knitting for 40 years and crocheting for 40 years, so she has learned both of those at the same time. There may be hope for her. She is a primary school teaching assistant, a gardener to elderly people, and...
I'm sorry, what?
She doesn't garden. She doesn't plant them. I mean, it's Yorkshire. Maybe she plants them. Maybe she plants their garden. And, oh, her husband loves growing spuds.
Okay, so she likes the potatoes.
Yeah, her man's into taters. She's into dahlias and lilies, and she sews and cooks. Maybe she will cook you food if you sponsor her. And she is in such groups as Thrifty Knitters Sock Club. She's in a lot of knitting groups. Oh, she's got crochet fever.
Oh, she's actually in a...
Oh, dear. Okay, she's ill.
She's in a group called Crochet Fever, so...
You need to sponsor her quickly, because I don't know
that... We need to get her some medication.
Some medication. How many people are in this? 3,000 members?! Good Lord.
Oh, God, it's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. It's like a potato famine, except Liz has lots of potatoes and even more crochet.
Oh, dear. Liz.
We're going to save you.
We're concerned for your well-being. Someone sponsor her so we don't have to.
And, yeah, Liz, we're here for you. Well, we're not.
We're not, but one of our other listeners maybe will be.
So we'd love a couple other crocheters to come forward, and if some knitters come forward, we will tell you how to sponsor this crocheter. Pretty much, we'd just like to write them funny letters and forward them to us, too.
Pretty much.
That's it. And maybe they'll make you some free crochet, because they'll be so happy to have a friend.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the one thing I've got plenty of, baby. Dreaming a while, scheming a while, you're sure fine. Happiness and I guess all those things you always pine for.
Now, last time we talked to you guys, well, I don't know if we talked about going to do this.
I don't think we did. You tweeted about it.
We went speed dating. Can you tell a little about it? I think it'll be funnier because you're sleepless.
Well, you just told me I was talking too fast.
Yep.
Well, we went speed dating.
We had a Groupon.
Living Social?
Whatever. We got one of those discount coupons for speed dating. And although, really, speed dating can be bad, can be good. We thought, why not? We're in New York. Go out and...
So we each bought a coupon.
And it was for you and your friend.
But it was a coupon for two.
So that gave us each two nights of speed dating.
Mm-hmm. And so we signed up for two nights
in a row. So should I tell about the first and you tell about the second?
Yeah, sure.
So the first night of speed dating was Jewish speed dating. And we thought, okay. There were supposed to be minimum 10 guys, 10 girls there. So we thought, okay. We're girls, we'll go. So we went. There were six guys. They started it 45 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a professional sort of thing. The person in charge showed up in sweatpants, essentially.
She came in her pajamas.
Pajamas. And most of the guys were really freaking creepy.
Yeah, well, it started with the guy who informed you that time travel was real.
Yes, that time travel was real. And then the next guy who put his hand on my leg and then spilled his wine all over you.
Yes. So there was one decent guy there who was a little bit young. But there was one decent guy there who warned me about Dimitri.
Dimitri, the Russian guy.
And he said, you know, Dimitri told me that his goal was to get with a girl during one of their dates. And I confirmed that indeed he meant during one of the 5-minute speed dates that he wanted to get with someone. And
how is that even physically possible? Creepy. Were we all in the same room?
I don't know.
No, there was so much creepage going on. It was just an unpleasant evening, and it's a shame because we went really far and I was hungry. And we actually ordered burgers, like veggie burgers, before speed dating down the street, but we were late, so we left them behind. And we came back to them later and they were cold. They kept them behind the counter.
They kept them for us.
And that was the best part of the evening, was cold veggie burgers in the, like, an hour away from where we live.
Well, Melanie and I had a bit of a strategy.
Oh, right.
In that we were sitting next to each other, but there were far more girls than there were men. But we were next to each other, so when one of us was without a date and the other one was with someone insufferable, we decided to just join the date together. Yes. And so it would be two against one.
Two against one. And some of the guys thought it was sexy. And we said, guys, we're sisters.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah, there's not going to be a threesome. I mean, we could knit together with you.
But I think my favorite conversation of the evening was when, I don't know his name, but when one guy turned to us both, because we were having a triple date at that point.
Might have been Dimitri.
Yeah, I think it was Dimitri, and said, so what were you in your past life? And we both kind of looked at him and said, well, what were you? And his answer was, a howler monkey. Now, I know a little bit about howler monkey. Let's just say.
You know a fair amount.
I know a fair amount. I lived in the Caribbean, South America, like Caribbean, Guyana. They have howler monkeys there. I know for a fact that when howler monkeys feel threatened, they defecate, catch their own defecation as it, say, or comes out, and then throws it at whatever is threatening them. So when he said, I was a howler monkey, I looked at him and said, so you throw your poo at people. And he blushed and he said, how did you know howler monkeys do that?
So, I'm speechless now, even recalling the conversation.
It was a special moment in speed dating history.
Oh, and that time, really, these didn't end, because often the double dates were 10 minutes, because they were supposed to be with me and then move on to Deborah next. So Deborah started grilling him on Canadian words.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
I didn't realize there were Canadian words.
Oh my goodness, so many.
For example?
Toque. But that one's easy. That's a knitting term.
I asked a few people, and they did not know what toque was the next day at rehearsal.
It's a toque is a beanie or a winter hat.
Okay, what's another?
How do you spell toque?
T-O-U-Q-U-E.
T-O-Q-U-E?
Toque.
Okay, just, whatever.
I don't know. Spelling's
hard. Another one, parkade. That's a place where you park your car.
Obviously. But not if you're an American.
A 2-4. A 2-4 of beer. Is a 24 case of beer.
There was another sidewalk or something. I guess they use that word here.
I don't think it was sidewalk. I had a lot. I had just been Googling it that day.
Really? Just randomly or for things
no,
to talk
preparing,
about at speed dating?
No, we're actually putting together a game for our office holiday party where we're going to grill the non-Canadian members of our staff on Canadian words.
Nice, make them feel dumb.
Make them feel non-Canadian. That's the way to do it.
So that was the first night.
Yeah, that was the first night. Then the second night.
The last person was super insufferable also, and I just talked like a knitter. I thought it would turn him off. I told him about my spinning wheels.
I was so insulted because I had no date for the last date, and I sort of got up and went to the washroom and whatnot. And I walked back into the room, and I heard Melanie, in her most annoying, geeky voice, saying, "So, I love to knit, and I love to spin, and I have two spinning wheels, and I have a huge yarn collection." And she went on and on, and I looked at her, and I said, "You are describing me."
I'm so lovely, Deborah.
I tried to do it in the most unattractive way to repel this man. That's kind of mean.
It worked. Moving on.
You repelled me while you were at it.
Well, it's good, because we're sisters, so we're not... I mean, I did get a burger date with you after. Cool.
I had already paid for the burger.
Fair enough.
That was before you made fun of me.
So, the next night, we went to different speed dating. Same company. Much better. There were maybe 16 girls and 30 guys?
Yeah, there were more women than men. I had some interesting conversations, but the dates were, like, 30 seconds long.
They were really
short. Probably a minute and a half, because they had to fit in... Well, it was fun for the women, because there was no waiting.
So what were some of your favorite conversations?
There was the dentist.
Oh, I had a good conversation with him, too.
Where he said, "I'm a dentist," and I said, "I have a TMJ problem," which is a jaw problem. Yeah, that was that's, like, not the most attractive thing I could have said, really.
Although he chose you.
Although I have been in communication with
you
him
You may go on
then.
A date with him.
Yeah, if I were to answer his email. I've been really bad about keeping up with emails. We've discussed this
tonight. You're answering it tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm editing the podcast tonight.
Not tonight. Anyway, and so for me, when the dentist came over and said, "Hey, I'm a dentist," I said, he said, "Hey, I'm a dentist and I'm from New Jersey." So I said, "Oh, you're in the mobs. You can knock people's teeth out and sew them right back in." He didn't choose me.
That's pretty funny, though.
I thought it was hilarious.
There were a couple of conversations where I predicted what the person did for a living and they were surprised that I could tell.
Like what? Mobster? There were a lot of people from New Jersey.
Well, whenever they said they were from Jersey, right?
I mean, come on.
Come on, you're in Jersey. I don't know, there are some people you could just tell they were in IT. You can usually tell when someone's a lawyer or in finance.
Or in the mob.
In the mob.
So it was an interesting night.
It was more fun than the first night.
Two nights.
Yeah,
and then I've gone on a couple dates separate from that. They've been fair to middling. But they've been what they are. The problem is, usually the podcast comes up as a topic of conversation, so I can't really give any details on the podcast because they might listen. So, there's been good, there's been bad. I'm tired. So, I guess that is speed dating.
Over the leafy lands, a wee bit over the green. The birds went into the poor man's corn. I fear they'll never be sown. So sing me lads, I fear they'll never be seen.
Growing up, Deborah and I went to French immersion school. And almost every year in school, actually it seemed like all the time, one of the books in the classrooms was called... You know, I don't remember what it's called. It was either called The Hockey Sweater. I think it was called The Hockey Sweater. And it was read to us, and we read it, and it's one of those quintessential French-Canadian books that have been translated into English, but that it's so good, and it's so much a part of when we went to school and winters in Canada. And it's about a sweater, which is knitting-related. So Deborah thought that she would read it to you. However, she forgot to do an intro to the story, and that is why I am trying to cobble one together really fast here, because I want the podcast to be out, don't you all? So here is Deborah reading The Hockey Sweater, I think. And it's a wonderful story, and we will put all the information in the show notes. And it's even better in French. Honestly, it's great in English. It's better in French. So read it, listen to it, and knit through it.
The winters of my childhood were long, long seasons. We lived in three places, the school, the church, and the skating rink. But our real life was on the skating rink. Real battles were won on the skating rink. Real strength appeared on the skating rink. The real leaders showed themselves on the skating rink. School was sort of a punishment. Parents always want to punish children, and school is their most natural way of punishing us. However, school was also a quiet place where we could prepare for the next hockey game, lay out our next strategies. As for church, We found there the tranquility of God. There we forgot school and dreamed about the next hockey game. Through our daydreams, it might happen that we would recite a prayer. We would ask God to help us play as well as Maurice Richard. We all wore the same uniform as he, the red, white, and blue uniform of the Montreal Canadiens, the best hockey team in the world. We all combed our hair in the same style as Maurice Richard, and to keep it in place, we used a sort of glue, a great deal of glue. We laced our skates like Maurice Richard. We taped our sticks like Maurice Richard. We cut all his pictures out of the paper. Truly, we knew everything about him. On the ice, when the referee blew his whistle, the two teams would rush at the puck. We were five Maurice Richards taking it away from five other Maurice Richards. We were 10 players, all of us wearing with the same blazing enthusiasm the uniform of the Montreal Canadiens. On our backs, we all wore the famous number 9. One day, my Montreal Canadiens sweater had become too small. Then it got torn and had holes in it. My mother said, "If you wear that old sweater, people are going to think we're poor." Then she did what she did whenever we needed new clothes. She started to leaf through the catalogue the Eaton Company sent us in the mail every year. My mother was proud. She didn't want to buy our clothes at the general store. The only things that were good enough for us were the latest styles from the Eaton's catalogue. My mother didn't like the order forms included with the catalogue. They were written in English, and she didn't understand a word of it. To order my hockey sweater, she did as she usually did. She took out her writing paper and wrote in her gentle schoolteacher's hand, "Cher Monsieur Eaton, would you be kind enough to send me a Canadien sweater for my son, who is 10 years old and a little too tall for his age, and Dr. Robitaille thinks he's a little too thin? I'm sending you $3, and please send me what's left if there's anything left. I hope your wrapping will be better than last time." Monsieur Eaton was quick to answer my mother's letter. 2 weeks later, we received the sweater. That day, I had one of the greatest disappointments of my life. I would even say that on that day, I experienced a very great sorrow. Instead of the red, white, and blue Montreal Canadiens sweater, Monsieur Eaton had sent us a blue and white sweater with a maple leaf on the front. The sweater of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'd always worn the red, white, and blue Montreal Canadiens sweaters. All my friends wore the red, white, and blue sweater. Never had anyone in my village ever worn the Toronto sweater. Never had we even seen a Toronto Maple Leaf sweater. Besides, the Toronto team was regularly trounced by the triumphant Canadiens. With tears in my eyes, I found the strength to say, "I'll never wear that uniform." "My boy, first you're going to try it on. If you make up your mind about things before you try, my boy, you won't get very far in this life." My mother had pulled the blue and white Toronto Maple Leaf sweaters over my shoulders, and already my arms were inside the sleeves. She pulled the sweater down and carefully smoothed all the creases in the abdominal maple leaves, on which, right in the middle of my chest, were written the words, "Toronto Maple Leafs." I wept. "I'll never wear it." "Why not? The sweater fits you, like a glove." "Maurice Richard would never put it on his back." "You aren't Maurice Richard. Anyway, it isn't what's on your back that counts. It's what you've got inside your head." "I'll never put it in my head to wear a Toronto Maple Leaf sweater." My mother sighed in despair and explained to me, "If you don't keep this sweater, which fits you perfectly, I'll have to write to Monsieur Eaton and explain that you don't want to wear the Toronto sweater. Monsieur Eaton's an Anglais. He'll be insulted because he likes the maple leaves. And if he's insulted, do you think he'll be in a hurry to answer us? Spring will be here and you won't have played a single game just because you don't want to wear that perfectly nice blue sweater." So I was obliged to wear the maple leaf sweater. When I arrived on the rink, all the Maurice Richards in red, white, and blue came up, one by one, to take a look. When the referee blew his whistle, I went to take my usual position. The coach came and warned me I'd be better to stay on the forward line. A few minutes later, the second line was called. I jumped onto the ice. The maple leaf sweaters weighed on my shoulders like a mountain. The coach came and told me to wait. He'd need me later on defense. By the third period, I still hadn't played. One of the defensemen was hit in the nose with a stick, and it was bleeding. I jumped on the ice. My moment had come. The referee blew his whistle. He gave me a penalty. He claimed I jumped on the ice when there were already five players. That was too much. It was unfair. It was persecution. It was because of my blue sweater. I struck my stick against the ice so hard it broke. Relieved, I bent down to pick up the debris. As I straightened up, I saw the young vicar on skates before me. "My child," he said, "just because you're wearing a new Toronto Maple Leaf sweater, unlike the others, it doesn't mean that you're going to make the laws around here. A proper young man doesn't lose his temper. Now take off your skates and go to the church and ask God to forgive you." Wearing my Maple Leaf sweater, I went to the church, where I prayed to God. I asked him to send, as quickly as possible, moths that would eat up my Toronto Maple Leaf's sweater.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just sitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
Let's get one pearl, two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn. And stitch, three, drop, four. Pitch that mitten out the door right now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 91 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to podcasting once more before the very, very festive day of December 24th. 5th. December 25th. 4th, too. And the 4th. If you'd like to reach us, you can find us on our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can find us on Ravelry. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. And we are also on our podcast Ravelry group. We're on Facebook as the Savvy Girls Podcast. We're on Twitter as Savvy Girls PCast. And you can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca.
Good memorization.
Thanks. I've only been doing it for, what, 3.5, 4 years?
Something like that.
Something like that.
If the podcast were a child, it would already be off to school.
Not quite. Depends, pre-kindergarten.
It'd be a smart child. We will see you next time, episode 92, the special holiday episode. Do we know what we're doing yet?
No way.
No problem. We'll
it's
figure something
be fun.
Out. Oh dear.
Until next time.
Tend to your knitting,
kitten.
Cardigan would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to, and